Evening, everyone. Better. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Check it. Just a little bit louder. Thank you. Okay. I thought I was going to be nervous, but actually it's not that nerve-wracking. I think let's start first with prayer. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you will bless the words coming out of my mouth, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will be speaking, not me, Lord. Lord, may you grow greater in me, Lord, and may I grow smaller. Father God, I pray that you will bless this word, Lord, and bless the people receiving it, Lord. Lord, open their hearts and open their souls, Lord. Amen. Okay, so tonight I want to talk about prayer. But hopefully, there's echo up here. But hopefully give you guys a new twist, right? So, prayer is quite simple. But the thing is, prayer sets us apart. I haven't seen animals that have prayed. I mean, people always try and make this link. Like, oh, people haven't made tools. But all of a sudden they see, monkeys make tools. Okay, so people must, communicate. No, dolphins communicate. Prayer is something that I've never seen an animal do that people do. Right? And there are three structures to prayer. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these are the three that I want to elaborate on more. Okay, sorry, I need to follow. There's important stuff here. Okay. So we pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. And the first one I'm going to tackle is to the Father. There's something human beings that have, that creatures don't have, and that is prayer. Right? But there's also something that Christians have that other religions don't have. And that is a Father. That is prayer to a Father. Right? For as long as people have been around, they've been worshipping idols, the sun, the stars, the moon. But we pray to a Father, someone that is a comforter. Yeah, you lost my spot. And even highlighted so I don't lose my spot. For many people, praying is private, right? Religions pray, it's them to Allah. Or them to God, them to the moon, them to the sun. But prayer for Christians, there's a minimum of how many people can be there. Who wants to take a guess? What's the minimum you can have? How many? Is that three or two? Two. Okay, I don't want to say it's wrong, but I think it's wrong. The minimum that you can pray is four. Right? Four. Because you pray, it's you, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So no matter how much you pray or where you go, it is always you. But we can also push it further. The minimum is four, right? You also have powers and principalities. And if you push even further, your prayers are being lifted up with everyone else's prayers. So prayer is always a public thing. Even when you're alone, God said, well, I think it was Jesus actually, said, he teaches us, go into your room and close the door and pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, right? Give us our daily bread. Even when you're alone in your own room, you're praying our, because as a family, right? Another difference is between our prayer and other religions is, sorry, I just need some water. My tongue's going dry. That's better. Yeah, so the other difference between our prayer and Christian prayer and other religions is, we talk, they meditate, right? The Bible doesn't say, knock at the door and hum for me, then I'll know what you're saying. It says, knock at the door and ask something, right? When I was preparing for this message, right, the guy gave a story. There was a great violinist, very great, and he had a son. And he never taught his son to play the violin. His son was also quite a good violin player. And someone asked him one day, why didn't you teach your son? And he says, my son never asked me. And it's that simple. He never asked you. Right? If you go through the Bible, right, 95% of Jesus' teachings is about praying, is talking and asking. Right? Talking and asking. It just gets that simple. Prayer is so simple that it's like a child talking to their father. Sorry, I need to find the point again. There is no criteria. You don't have to hit some sort of like status like Buddhism. You don't have to go to a new level. As you are, you can pray. There's nothing special. There's nothing that you need to pray. You can just pray. So now on to the next point is through the Son. Okay, if you guys want to turn to... Oh wait, actually, let's turn at the end. I forgot I was going to put that to the end. Right? See, that's the problem with notes. Okay, anyways, if you guys want to get ready, you can turn to Hebrews 4, verse 12. I've got two more differences between our Christianity and other religions, right? Christianity is the only religion that we can actually pray and say God, our Father, or Dad. We can call Him Dad. No other religion can call their God Dad. And also, Jesus is the center of our whole Christianity, right? There are five things that Christian prayer has that no other one has. I'm going to read it for you guys. Okay, so 5 points. We have the teaching of Christ about prayer, right? We have an example of Christ in our prayer. We have the blood of Christ. We have the intercession of Christ. So even when we pray, Christ is praying for us. We have the name of Christ to use in our prayer. Okay, so just to do that again. So we have the teaching of Jesus in our prayer. We have the example of Jesus in our prayer. We have the blood of Jesus to plead. And we have the intercession of Jesus to rely upon. Right? Sorry, I'm getting nervous. Okay, so when the disciples came to Jesus, they never came and asked Him, how do we pray? He didn't give them one sermon or one story. His teaching of prayer was through a whole like journey of a couple of months. Right? But I've got it summed up for you guys here, so you guys can thank me. Okay? So basically, His teachings came to two things, how to pray and what to pray. And I think this is one of the things that Christians struggle with the most. It's just, how do I pray? And what do I pray? But I've got an answer for that one. I've got a few answers here, but I've got a very simple answer that I'll answer at the end of this message. I can sum up the whole prayer into one word. Ooh. My voice is not nervous, but my body is. Okay, so first, how to pray. You must pray with sincerity, right? I'm reminded of that story where there was a guy standing in front. I think it's in the Bible. I'm not sure where it is. But I just remember the story, right? There was a guy standing in front, and he was praying, I. Maybe he wasn't praying, I want this and I want that. But he was praying, look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at what I talk. Look at this, right? And his message only went from his mouth to his heart. So basically, it only brought up himself, only brought up his pride. But there was a man at the back that was praying sincerely, and his prayer got through. The next point is pray with simplicity. Okay? We have to pray like children. It has to be simple. Right? The first prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples was less than a minute long. Now, this doesn't mean pray for less than a minute. But what it's saying is get to the point. Don't try and fill it with fancy words. Say what you want and ask for what you need. And it's just that simple. Right? Pray with tenacity. Right? Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. It doesn't mean long prayers, but it means frequent prayers. So if you want something, continue. Keep going at it. Pray with charity. This basically means don't just focus on yourself. If you expect God to love you, how can you love someone or not love someone? Right? And that means also in your prayer. Pray for others, but also as well, pray for yourself. Pray with unity. We already know that you can have a minimum of 4 persons with you when you're praying. You, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? But there's nothing wrong with going to someone saying, can you please pray with me? Can you please help me pray for this thing? Now on to what to pray. Because in the Bible, Jesus was teaching them what to pray for. And He said, pray for other people. But in this, He had, I think it was 4 different types of people that He singled out. Right? So He said, pray for the sick. Right? And He also said, Pray for those that are possessed. Pray for missionaries and pray for your enemies. Those four should be basically on the top of our list when praying. It should also be something that we remember when we pray. He also said you should pray for yourself, the practical things, your food, your clothes. Don't neglect yourself in your own prayer. You should pray for forgiveness, guidance, and not to be tempted. So when you're getting tempted, or if you need guidance, what word is that? You need to pray, right? Then most of all, you have to pray for things God wants. His kingdom come, thy be done. Okay? When I was a little child, I used to pray. Well, not a little child, but more a young Christian. But I used to pray, go to bed, wake up, and I'm like, ish, Lord, I need to take that amen back. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. But for me, in Jesus used to be just a tagline. Like a stamp that we put on a letter and put it into a mailbox, and without the stamp, it's not going to get there. It didn't mean anything to me. It didn't have any substance. But you should actually look at it as a petition. When you want something to be signed, right? No one's going to take that petition seriously unless someone with authority has signed it. So think of it as your prayer, and Jesus is your authority, and he's saying, I approve of this prayer, and he passes it through. Okay, finally, in the Spirit. Okay, let me just get points again. In the beginning, I said prayer is simple, but I never said prayer is easy. Sometimes we struggle to find the way to pray. We struggle to find how to pray and what to pray for. We've got all these feelings and all these emotions, right? Jesus said that he's going to leave us because it's better for us, and he's going to send on his Holy Spirit. Because back then, if you wanted to know something, you had to go to Jesus. If you wanted to learn a prayer, you had to go to him for him to teach it to you. But he sent down his Holy Spirit so that he can act within you and through you. He will be like your, I don't know, like your mom when you don't know how to put your words in the thing. He goes, you just say it like this. He helps you to order your life and put everything into context. There's a verse in the Bible that says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. Right? We can't just pray, we need help. We need Jesus. When Jesus was still flesh on earth, we could go to him and ask him to teach us how to pray. But he said it would be better if he leaves and someone else takes his place, because he will be able to do a much better job at it. And that person is the Holy Spirit. The verse doesn't just say we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. It doesn't say the Spirit prays for us. It doesn't say it takes us. It says it helps us in our weakness. It basically takes the words that you can't say and puts it into an order that you can say. God doesn't want us to struggle. He wants to help us. The Father helps us by listening. The Son helps us by praying for us the whole time. The Holy Spirit wants to help us by getting the prayer going. So if you had to put it all into a line, let me just find it. Okay, so we have the Spirit to pray in, the Son that catches it and passes it to the Father, and the Father waiting to listen to it. Those three things are the iconic, or the basis of prayer. Without those three things, each one leads onto the other. Think of it as an advocate when you're in court. You don't just have one advocate, you have two, right? You have one speaking to the judge and one speaking to you. But we have an advocate on high and we have an advocate within to speak on our behalf. Ephesians 6:18. Sorry, I left out Hebrews 4:12. But it's not an issue. Yeah, Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. For the same reason, be alert. Use every kind of effort and make every kind of request for all of God's people. Also pray that God will give me the right words to say, that I will speak boldly when I reveal the mysteries of the good news. Because I have already been doing this, and as Christ's representative, I am in prison. So pray that I speak about this good news as boldly as I have to. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? The Spirit can influence us in two ways. Okay? One way is He can take over our minds, and it's our responsibility to speak. Or He can take over our mouths, and it's our responsibility to let our mouths move and our tongues move. Right? In the case where He takes over our mind, we have the, like I said, we have the responsibility to actually speak. When God gives us a thought or a message or a vision, it's our responsibility to come and stand up and convey it. It's not just going to come out of your mouth. It's not just going to explode out like you stand there with your mouth open and there's this voice talking through you. You physically have to come and walk and talk, right? And when He takes over your mouth, you have to switch off your head. You mustn't be thinking. You must just let it go. Just let it happen. Before I end off, I just want to say that praying in tongues is not the only confirmation that you have received the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues is the most popular one that people get. It is the most common one that people get. But it's not the definite answer. Right? For myself, I've tried praying in tongues. I've tried many times, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean God doesn't speak to me. I have many occasions walked up to people not knowing their names, not knowing what they're feeling. All of a sudden, it just comes within me, and I just start talking. And they say what I spoke was exact. And I don't know them. And that's not myself, right? And that, for me, is confirmation that I have received. I might not have received tongues, but I have received something. Like I said at the beginning, that I will be able to sum this whole message up into one word, right? When the disciples came to Jesus, and they said that, "Lord, teach us how to pray," there was one word that He just had to say, and that word was Abba. He just had to say Father. And that, for you, puts it into a whole new perspective. Not only are we praying to a God, but we're praying to a Father, someone who cares, someone who understands, someone who knows. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Jan, can I do an altar call for us, Anthony? I'm just teasing you. Did you see him drain, the blood drain from his face? No, I'm just teasing you. Thank you, Anthony, and thank you, youth. It's very encouraging for us to see that our young people love the Lord, they've got a passion for God, they've got a passion for His Word. And I pray that you'll have a passion for prayer. Our prayer meetings are so important. We had a prayer meeting here this morning, which just changed the whole atmosphere of the service. We had a fantastic service, but it started there, praying, speaking to the Lord. And we can have that personally. I think we've been experiencing that as we've been going through the study on Song of Songs. And I believe it'll make a change in our lives if we just practice this discipline. Young people particularly, but for us older folk, we also sometimes get lazy. Let us call on the Lord. Thanks, Anthony. We're going to just close in prayer. Father, we thank You that You've given us this wonderful gift. We don't call to a dead God. We don't speak to idols made of men's hands. Lord, we don't even speak to something that's false, some false deity, some power or principality. We speak to the living God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And what a joy it is. And let us learn to grow in prayer. It's simple like Anthony taught, and yet it is so powerful. And it can change lives and circumstances and situations. It can move mountains. Let us learn to do so in Jesus' name. Thank You for our young people and the message we've heard and their enthusiasm for You. We give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.